And next up on Coast to Coast AM, we are going to be talking about exorcisms, the prophecies of Fatima with Father Andrew Wingate, back on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll be right back in just a moment. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'll tell you a little bit about Father Andrew Wingate. He's a Catholic priest, part of the church through the old Roman Catholic Church. Father Wingate, along with all of his priests and bishops, are evangelists, preachers, confessors, spiritual directors, as well as exorcists. He has traveled the world studying and examining the many mystics who have been publishing private revelations concerning end times as well. He is last with me about a year or so ago. Andrew, welcome back, Father. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good this evening. How about yourself?
Good. I'm doing fine. And for the new listeners, explain the part of the Catholic Church that you are, because, you know, you're a little different. You're allowed to be married, but tell us all about that.
Our bishops come from a group of bishops that were thought to have been excommunicated some years ago, but Rome has openly recognized that, no, we're not, that we are fully legit. And we've always held on to the traditional practices of the church. We haven't changed over to what they call post-Vatican II liberal changes. And we pretty much remained separate from the diocese because for us to have what they call a final full union with Rome itself, not with the Pope, but with Rome itself, we need to have the support of the local bishops. And we don't have that because we cling to our heritage. We don't accept the new practices of communion in the hand and other things like that.
So, and they don't like it, do they?
No.
No.
So we've remained pretty much this way. I got an offer here recently to join with the Malachites, but my health has been pretty bad the past couple of years.
That's what I had heard, Father. You know, we had heard that you were in pretty bad shape, and of course, you know, you were on with me about a year ago, and you held on. But how are you doing now?
I'm still kind of getting over. I had three strokes last week.
Oh my God! And what are you doing on the air with me? You should be resting.
I am resting.
Okay.
But this is important.
Yes, it is. It sure is. Well, look, if this is too much for you, you let me know, would you please?
No problem. If I speak slow, it's only because I'm just that way right now.
I understand.
Let's help enlighten the public.
Let's talk first about some of our past predictions and where we are with end times. I want to get into exorcisms with you. I want to get into prophecy with Fatima. But over the years, you've been a great guest of ours, Father. You've made some predictions that you believe are harbingers of end times. One was...
Well, remember the last thing we spoke about was actually the sinking of the aircraft carrier, the America.
That's right.
Remember, they sank it in the North Atlantic.
That's right.
Right. Now, that was one of the three last major signs of saying, okay, the hammer is falling. The next thing that has happened, remember I told you there'd be two popes, two true popes at one time.
Mm-hmm. I remember
that. Well, that's what we got.
Explain that.
Well, Pope Benedict is a true pope. He, no matter whether he retires or as long as he's still alive, he is...
He's still a pope. Yeah.
A pope. Yeah. He's not the pontiff. There's a difference. The pontiff is the guy in charge.
He's like the CEO of a company.
Pardon?
The pontiff is like the CEO of a company.
That's right. And Pope Francis is a pope also. So now we've got two very true, very valid popes. If Francis were to die tomorrow, they would not need to elect another pope. Benedict would have to...
come back, basically.
Yeah,
right?
He'd have to come back at least until...
they named another.
He requested that I want to go back into my seclusion. And he'd have to call a conclave for a new election. But they wouldn't have to, because he is a true existing pope.
Both of these predictions, the sinking of the aircraft carrier, which was an aircraft carrier that they mothballed, but they did sink it, and you said that we would sink our own, and we did. And then these predictions of the two popes. How did you do that? I mean, how did you see that?
Over 15 years ago, maybe even a little longer. Remember the TV show Morton Downey?
Sure do. I sure do.
You don't?
Yeah. No, I do.
Oh, you do. Okay. I was on his show. He asked me to come. I was on there to debunk Spiritus.
He loved controversy, didn't
yeah.
he?
So those predictions were some of the predictions that I had given on that show that night, and he deleted them.
He deleted them? He took them out?
Took them out of the program and didn't put it on the air. And because I told him, I said, I'll prove to you that these certain things that these people are saying is demonic. And I named three particular things. I said, the first thing will happen tonight. It'll be in the news and on in the papers in the morning. Now, this is New York. And I said, so it'll be in a New York morning paper. I said, in 90 days, such and such will happen. And then in 6 months, this third thing will happen. And I said, and then I told him during break, I said, if you delete, because St. Michael told me he was going to delete it. And I warned him, I said, if you delete this within 6 weeks after the third prediction, which was the fall of communism, I told him, I said, you'll be off the air. And he did. They yanked his contract out from under him for some reason. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, at the same time, on the program, I told him, says, here are some things people need to look forward to, because having dates doesn't do any good, because dates change.
They change, that's right.
Yep, and because even things that we thought, myself included, that applied to John Paul II didn't. But because of the circumstances of the time, it was our opinion that these things applied to him. And but they weren't part of a prediction saying John Paul II this and that. It's just some things we thought. So we're learning ourselves and being re-educated that because of God's mercy and the great grace he gives through the Blessed Virgin, events have been drawn out. Because remember Christ, even Christ said, and it says in scriptures, how if things were not shortened, even the elite would be wiped out, be deceived. So heaven... through mercy.
Well, these two predictions, Father, of the popes and the aircraft carrier, they are basically stepping stones to what? End times?
The stepping stones actually to what I understand to be the culmination of many chastisements coming at one time. I've said in the past how we will have this increase in and our country being involved in wars. And it seems like we can't keep out of one anymore.
No, not at all.
And one of the predictions was that the United States would be involved in wars with three nations at one time when all of the culminations came to a head. And right now, here we are getting ready to retaliate to ISIS, which is way overdue. I went to Africa in 93 and to prevent an event that occurred a year later because some people interfered with me being able to come back to prevent the event. And that event, which I predicted at the time while I was there, was the massacre of almost a million people there in East Africa. And that was on the news, you know, just worldwide.
And that's still kind of ongoing, too, isn't it?
Yeah. And but what the news covered up, the media covered up, is that this was not just a tribe going after another tribe. Because they went into four different countries doing this slaughter. It was actually the extreme Muslims, like they're doing now, killing the Christians, especially the Catholics. And this is what the ISIS are doing now also. The news media is not reporting. They've only had one report in all this time stating that Christians were being persecuted. Christians aren't being persecuted, they're being slaughtered.
I was going to just say that. They are. It is a slaughter.
Yeah.
And
the reason why the news media is not reporting it is because our country identifies itself primarily as a Christian nation, Judeo-Christian. And the government is afraid that the public would just raise in arms.
Why doesn't Godfather just open the clouds and come down on all this hate and stop it?
Well, because of free will, simple as that. I don't want to make this a long, drawn-out explanation, but for God to have complete victory, for Christ to have complete victory over evil, then evil has to have reached its maximum. It has to have gotten to the point where there's nothing else that could happen. And this is one reason why at Fatima, Our Lady instructed the church to do the consecration of Russia. But because John the 23rd didn't do it, this gave time for the enemies of the church and of Christianity, time to get into position to fight it. And each pope that's come in, who has even indicated that he's going to do the consecration, something's happened to him, one way or the other. John Paul II didn't do it because of Chernobyl. The enemies of the church let him know that here's an example of how far they're willing to go.
And there are many enemies, aren't there?
Yes. It is at the most it's ever been.
Father, weren't you asked?
And said it in Fatima that a great persecution to the church would come and that Christians would suffer.
It's under fire right now, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's under fire right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Father Gruner in Canada has been doing the best he can to help keep the message out to people to understand how necessary this is to the world to have this consecration done. And it's if the public knew that world peace could come as an act of God through the Blessed Virgin, instantly, that we're going to have virtually overnight peace in the world if the Pope with all the bishops, with the support of world leaders, would do the consecration of Russia. Okay? Now, this isn't because Russia's a bunch of bad people or anything like this. It's because God has said, I want to use Russia as a holy instrument of peace to the world. Okay? And by this, I will God will defeat communism and all of its evils. Because communism includes abortion and blah, blah, everything else. Okay? That a lot of people don't even know how this new medical bill that the government is wanting to get passed nationally, and what I mean by passed is put in effect,
implemented,
includes several laws of euthanasia. And I personally saw several weeks ago doctors try to take several individuals, or an individual that I knew personally, who had just had a stroke and said, no, she's too old to treat. It's more money than it's worth to treat her. Just take her home and let her die.
Oh, jeez. They didn't say that to you, too, did they?
Pardon? Nope. My doctor is a bit different. But this individual I'm referring to was my mother, so I know this is true. And my family had to actually go and get a particular urologist and bring him to the hospital and get him to treat her, and then the hospital kicked her out anyway. They wouldn't keep her.
They move them in and move them out, Father.
Uh-huh. So, because abortion does not recognize the value of human life, then what value does a person 85 and 90 years old who is sick, what value is their life?
All right, now tie this into end times. What does this all mean?
This adds up to evil being at its worst, so that when God defeats evil through the Blessed Virgin, that it is a complete and absolute defeat. That way, that's why I'm saying this is hard to explain in very simple terms, but the battle between good and evil has been going on since the beginning.
Of course.
And God is going to win. The devil knows he's going to lose, but he hates so much. He would rather suffer in hell for all eternity than to say, I give up.
Well, what are we going to go through to get to this victory against evil? It's not going to be easy, is it?
Look at the way the weather's been here in just the United States this last year and all summer.
Been horrible.
Floods and floods and floods and floods. Weather differences like unbelievable. That's going to continue. It's just going to continue and get worse and worse. Ebola is now back in the public.
Yep, 1,900 dead people already.
Pardon?
1,900 people have died already from the Ebola, just on this recent thing.
And it's not even near under any kind of control.
All right, Father, stay with us. We're going to come right back after the break. By the way, Father Andrew Wingate's website is what it's always been, trumpetersmission.com, which is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And of course, you can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, Father Andrew Wingate with us. Father, let's talk a little bit about exorcisms. Weren't you asked to be part of a exorcism TV show?
Yes. They wanted to do a TV show that was supposed to have been to where it was like a family-involved I don't know, some kind of realistic, they wanted us to make it like a realistic TV show of where they would come in and start filming exorcisms. And I let them know, no way, you know, and passed up on that real quick.
But you do perform exorcisms, don't you?
When necessary, yes. I've assisted in a number of them. I've assisted with, I've gone to two different countries to do exorcisms. Even heaven gave me some incense to use in these exorcisms so that they would be successful. And St. Michael, some years ago, handed me a little container that looked like a little silver cup full of precious stones. And as soon as I got it in my hand, I could see it was incense. And it wasn't a silver container, it was copper anyway.
It's worth some money now, huh?
No. But every once in a while, I can see them glisten, and actually they change colors, and it actually appears to be precious stones. I've had people report to me that they've seen it in different countries and different places. But this incense, if you can smell it or see the smoke, the demonic influences can't be there. And I've even seen where we walked through one particular house where they were having a lot of trouble, and several statues that they had in the house, there were these little Buddha statues, broke and just fell apart. And going to find out they had, actually, they were like voodoo dolls that somebody had put curses on,
no,
put them in the patient's house.
They work, don't they?
Pardon?
They work, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Those, see, it's like the Ouija board. That's one of the worst that was.
No doubt.
Mess
yeah.
with that. But when people do not remain themselves in a state of grace, evil can stay around them, stay around them. If they aren't praying on a regular basis, if they aren't having to repent for their sins and offenses, evil is able to stay around them, even to the point to where they can become obsessed with it, and they will start developing strange obsessions, even to the point of where they become mentally imbalanced. There are several sacramentals, very much like this incense, that is used to fight evil like that. There's several young victim souls, one of them in particular was named Annalisa Michael in Germany. And I met her before she died. But heaven had said that anyone who would bring white roses to her grave and say three particular prayers, that if they would, whoever these white rose petals were taken to, who were suspected of being mentally ill or possessed, that St. Michael would expel the evil that was there for 11 days. And that would give them 11 days dispensation to repent. And if they did, the evil couldn't come back because they returned to God. They returned to grace.
If they didn't, it comes back with a vengeance, doesn't it?
That's right. And I've seen this myself. Matter of fact, there's several countries in Europe that forbid those roses from being taken into hospitals, especially asylums.
Father, NBC looks like they're going to come out with a drama series on demonic possessions. It seems like it's a very growing situation. Is that a pretty accurate assessment?
I think what they're trying to do, I think they're being used to make people consider this very trifle, and have it to be just a trivia thing that not to be taken serious, and make it become customary in their thinking.
But it is serious, isn't it?
Pardon?
It is serious, isn't it?
Yes, it is serious. I spent 2 years helping a particular archbishop who was an exorcist, and he started getting real lax in what he was doing to protect himself. And I commented to him several times about it, and he ended up becoming possessed by it, to the point to where the Pope himself, John Paul II, did an exorcism on him. And he didn't obey the Pope's, because the Pope gave him some conditions. He didn't obey him, and he is possessed now, and he's excommunicated.
Oh, my God. Now, how long do you think somebody can stay possessed, Father?
Pardon?
How long can somebody stay possessed?
To their death.
To their death. And then what happens?
No one can become possessed unless they want to be. Okay? Now, this even includes victim souls, because the victim souls allow it as an opportunity to be a conversion for souls, to earn grace for souls. Those who aren't victim souls, they want it because of what the evil they want. Because, see, everything in existence is either a part of grace, which is the grace is the active love of God. That's God's love in action. That's what grace is. Now, evil has no grace. It's darkness. Grace has light. So either the people who choose the evil is because they want what they think it's going to give them, to the point of where they can finally just lose control and become a tool of the evil. I'd venture to say that 1% of the world's population is possessed right now.
Well, 1%.
More.
Is that high or low?
That's low. I would, if I had more to back it on, I'd go as high as 5 to 10%. And that's because of what people give themselves to, how people give themselves to evil, and to the point of where through that evil or because of it, they no longer can recognize good. They just can't recognize it anymore. It doesn't matter if they're a thief, a murderer, prostitute, I don't care what they are, a clergyman, a doctor, when they give themselves over to evil, they get to where you cannot talk them out of it.
Well, when you do, Andrew,
it doesn't matter. They want that evil.
When you do exorcisms, how do you know that the person isn't mentally ill or unstable?
Now, say that again.
When you do an exorcism, how do you know that the person isn't mentally ill or unstable?
Well, for one thing, I have to be able to have sufficient information about their condition to be able to consider that it's warranted. Okay, then I usually, or I have, since I got the incense, I just go ahead and burn the incense. And that person doesn't know what's going on with the incense. And if they are mentally ill, if it's a physical, mental thing that has nothing to do with evil, it stays. They remain that way. If they are obsessed or possessed, immediately it's gone. It's just plain gone. Then, by following that up with the ritual itself of exorcism, if a person is freed of it, they know it, and they can identify it. If they're mentally ill, they can't identify it. They don't know what's going on.
No, they have no idea.
No. Except those who are mentally ill who want to believe it's not their fault and want to blame it on something else, blame it on evil. That's a mental illness in itself. But the people who have been freed from evil, they know it. They can identify it. And they can respond to the request for what it takes for them to protect themselves.
Have you ever been in an exorcism where you thought, uh-oh, this is bad, really, really bad?
To the point where it scares the snot out of you? Yeah. I've seen several to where the individual was chained to anchors in a foundation, and they were pulling the chains out by levitating.
They were that strong.
Yeah, and they were laying on their back, and this person spit at one of the clergy that was there 15 feet away.
Jeez.
Across the floor.
Like a lung.
And it hit them. And they were laying on their back.
Well, they spit at him. Green goo or something?
Yeah, they spit at that priest and it hit him right on the chest. And they would just whelps break out on their body. Words would be spelled. These things that they've shown on movies that are so dramatic like that are real. That is not just some made-up science fiction.
What do these demons want, though, Father? What do they want? They want the soul of the individual or what?
Well, yes, they want the soul. They want to keep it. They already have it to an extent, but they want to keep it. And they actually are hoping that the person will be brought for an exorcism, okay? That's part of it, because they're hoping that the priest will screw up and they can possess him. That's the truth.
Have some priests been possessed in an exorcism?
Yes. I was just telling you about this archbishop. He was taken, he was possessed from not doing what he should have done properly during an exorcism.
And curtain times for him.
Pardon?
It was curtain times for him then, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh, yes. And it got amend when he didn't repent and jump off his instructions. Now that's what scares me, because you're talking about an individual who you actually see, this is an individual that the devil wanted. He wants that person.
Well, that's a prize for the devil, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, it's a great prize. You know, souls are souls. But souls who have been granted great privilege by God, and this includes politicians. The devils want politicians like crazy.
Well, they got most of them already.
Yeah. Yep. They do. And They want lawyers. I'm not kidding. They want doctors. They want people who are blessed to have privilege by skills, grace, talent, abilities, their influence of other people. They want those individuals because they can influence other people.
Is there going to be a moment, Father, where all these possessed people, like zombies, are turned loose on us?
At the end of the chastisements, right at the time of Armageddon, they will. But these are all individuals who were all given during the time of the warning, the great warning that's coming up. I think I've told you this about it before. It's in Scripture where every individual is revealed through the second Pentecost, the truth about Christ, the mystical body, the angels and saints, the Blessed Virgin, all of this. Every individual in the world will know it. And they will see their souls the way God sees it. And the ones who reject it, they are the ones who become, like you were saying, zombies.
Yeah.
They become evils. They're just vessels of evil. And this isn't science fiction. But evil has been revealing itself publicly over time to the extent of to where people just laugh at it and think nothing about it. think nothing about child sacrifice. They think nothing about it. This is what happened with the Israelites, where they became such a corrupt nation. They were being influenced by devils and evil spirits, where they were sacrificing their babies, their children, throwing them into pits of fire. Today, 1 million+ children a year are sacrificed because they're not wanted. So they kill it. That's human sacrifice. And nobody thinks anything about it. Well, very few. To the extent to where they just turn their heads and say, it's not my business. That's her free will.
When does this turn around, Father, and bite us all? When does it get us? Is it happening now?
What?
The lifestyle people have lived, is it going to backfire on us?
No. I don't know if I get backfire correct, because modernism itself is the human self-God.
And that's Father Andrew Ingate with us. His website, trumpetersmission.com. Father, thank you. I'm going to let you get some rest now, Father Andrew Wingate. We're going to go live to the United Kingdom in a moment for a little surprise.